Welcome to Reflector Reflections, the podcast exploring the unique and fascinating world of human design through the lens of being a reflector. I'm Annie Richardson, a 5-1 reflector and passionate mentor navigating this journey alongside you. This podcast is a space to connect, share, and celebrate the stories and wisdom of reflectors and human design enthusiasts alike. Join me as we dive into authentic conversations, uncovering how we embrace and experiment with our designs, and the beauty and challenges of living as nine-centered beings. Whether you're a reflector, loved one, or simply curious about human design, this is your space to learn, grow, and feel seen. Welcome. Hello, beautiful humans. Welcome back. I've kind of like upped the ante on my intro and I'm feeling a little fancy. I may choose to change my mind and that's okay. I want to come to you. I've wanted to come to you actually for a while and just share some of the things that have been going on in my space, in the human design space, in the reflector space, and just feel into it. But every time I've gone to record, it just hasn't felt right. And that's the beautiful thing that I've been really noticing this year is how am I tuning into what feels right? And in human design, there's a lot of, you know, talking about this, isn't it? You know, what feels correct for you, or do what is correct for you. But we often don't know what that is, because correct just means following your strategy and authority. Now, as a reflector, our strategy of waiting a lunar cycle can feel very intense. It is about the waiting, but it's also about starting to feel into this inner knowingness and correctness, for lack of better words. And when you start to feel it, I think then you can kind of really understand, aha, this is truly what correct means for me in this moment, which can sometimes change the more often you give yourself time to pause. So it's a strange shift that we go through in our human design journey. And, you know, I have a lot of judgments and opinions on that. Hello, North Node and South Node, on, you know, what happens during from an external point of view, looking into people, just looking in and seeing what's happening for people, because it also happened for me. And I made a little bit of a funny about, you know, the 7 years of human design. But it wasn't really funny, because I actually have been in a way living that and watching other people live it. Not that what they're doing is any of my concern, but it is very, it can feel very heady. And the pressure to want to know more and know more and know more, until all of a sudden you realize that you know nothing. And this is an actual lived experiment, but in honoring the simple mechanics, we can kind of start experimenting with that. So it's a very long-winded way of me of saying this is really where this past year has taken me. It's taken me on a lot of retreat, as in pulling back retreat, and it is a part of my design, the gate of retreat. It's taken me on a lot of questioning who I am time and time again. Hello, completely open G center. But in asking myself, who am I, it's more asking myself, what actually do you like? Do you enjoy this? Does this feel uncomfortable for you? Where are you feeling this? And really taking a step into me-ness and understanding, outside of human design, I'm still a person. I'm still a mother. I'm still a wife. I'm still a friend. I'm still a grandmother. You know what I mean? There's so many facets to who we are outside of human design. But how can I explore more me-ness in this space? And exploring more me-ness takes time. Exploring your you-ness takes time. And I've just been humbled so much this year, because I've come back to the simple mechanics of it all. Just wait. Just wait and start to really get in touch with my inner authority, which is my knowingness. So, over the last couple of months, I've kind of been throwing it out there and exploring my own fears, my own, oh, can I do this? Can I step up a little bit more and show or not show, but share this with people? And would that be acceptable? Am I doing that in a correct way? So there's a bit of paranoia there, of me going, am I the right person to be able to do this? And the beautiful thing was this year that I realized that nobody's the right person to do anything. And whoever comes along for the ride comes along for the ride. And one of the truest parts of my being is I want to help people, again, fifth line, but also the part of my unconscious sun and earth, which is the 27 and the 28. It is there to help people. My moon is in gate 45. My conscious moon is in gate 45. I need to gather the people. It's a part of who I am. And so, as a part of that, I thought, you know what, Annie, get out of your own way and be you instead of worried about how you may be perceived. And so that's why you've probably seen me sort of like putting a few things out there in workshops and things like that, because I'm trialing it. I'm experimenting and I want people around. I'm that upper trigram as a 5-1. I am about the other. I am about you. And it's just who I am. And often throughout time, I've probably tried to fight that and go, no, I'm a very, introverted person and I am. But I also love the connections of being in aura with others. And so this has been a way for me to push past this paralysis of mine of just going, I can show up as me and I can help guide others through this or mentor others through this and not teach them, not be that dictator of going, this is how it is and this is how it is. It's more like I'm inviting you to explore how this may feel for you. I'm inviting you to consider this and allowing the others, you, to enjoy your experience just with little prompts and nuance. And in doing that, I've realized that it's lit me up more than ever. It's like, oh wow, And what came to me in a journaling episode in mid-year was it seems so simple. The greatest teachers are always so simple to us. But it was like, I'm a 5-1. Let's talk human design. I'm a 5-1, so I need, at a deep level, I need a really solid foundation to feel secure. There's my one line, right? As a fifth line, I'm naturally outspoken in a way. I naturally will want to gravitate towards a leadership thing or providing solutions. My moon is in gate 45. It's even driving force for me to be in this space. However, I have a lot of third lines. And so, what that also has meant for me, especially a third line moon, is that I need to fuck around and find out. I need to experiment. And it's not always going to be right. And I need to be able to adapt and move. And so, the 5-1 has often kept me in a bit of a paralysis of going, nope, I need the right foundation. And it's like, oh, the projection and the, oh my gosh, can I do this? And so, it's kept me kind of like in this loop of not doing the things that I really wanted to do or sharing the voice that I have and speaking when it's right and feels good and sharing myself and sharing this stuff that I have experienced from fear. But then when I realized about all the third lines, I thought, Annie, you have to just make not mistakes, but to journey and enjoy it as only a third line can. And that has been the key that opens up all the doors for me. And it's like, even though I'm stepping forward and just in fear, of going, oh, this may not be, a proper solid foundation. Oh my gosh, what if I get it wrong? It's still a part of this experiment of going, it's okay, and sharing that vulnerability of saying, I'm here. And the first cohort that I've got in this lunar tracking experiment that we're doing, I've just been more raw, real, and vulnerable than ever, and it has brought me so much joy. And those beautiful reflectors who are there with me, I see them, they see me, and that's all I've ever wanted. That's it. It's just like the suggestions and things that they give to me, it's an equal footing. And I thought this is a beautiful experiment for me, because it gives me, I hope this helps you as well, but just stepping into this, it gives you this wholesomeness and this go, it is okay. It is okay. And with that has come this more of a solid foundation than ever before. So isn't it funny? Yeah. But a part of this, my laying my solid foundations, is I'm always studying. I know it's a first line thing. I know not everybody's built for it. If you've heard me speak about my lift and strengths, which is another personality testing kind of system, when I did mine, it shocked me, because my number one gift or talent is a learner. And I'm thinking, no, that can't be right. And I thought, it actually is. It nourishes me, it gives me great joy to learn new things. And one of the things that I've really been learning this year is that there's a lot of my education in human design that had holes. There's a lot of this experiment that I've been on where I probably wasn't initiated correctly into it, and I've been sort of like scrambling to make up the pieces. And this is no shade against any teacher or any coursework that I've done, but I've found that there are gaps in my education, and a lot of that is probably just true raw mechanics. So I have sometimes been trying to sit in the middle of what's correct in learnings. So a lot of people go down different modalities to learn human design or to be chart readers or whatever it is, and you've got the big school, right? It is expensive to study through them. But this year I thought, I'm curious. I'm at the point in my life now where I can take this on without being too influenced. And if anything, I wanted to bring the live your design training here to my backyard. I needed, again, gate 48 playing out in an unhealthy way, but I felt like I again needed more structure and study. But I really sat with this for possibly six lunar cycles and thought, do I really need to learn more, or do I just need to fill my gaps? And it really came down to, I really need to fill my gaps, because that would give me a lot more of a solid foundation. But at the same time, honoring those third lines in my drive and my communication style and my doingness of going, you experiment with it. So I am in that process of currently seeking the actual qualifications to be a Live Your Design guide, just because I want to induct people, for lack of better words, correctly. And as a part of that experiment, I was fortunate enough to travel to New Zealand to, kind of tutor under Christine Spicer, who is a very long time running, beautiful reflector, 6-2 reflector over there, which I've had on the podcast before. And oh my gosh, that experience, hands down, it's life changing. And I knew, and I've known for a long time, that I wanted to bring these kind of event, these real in-person things. It's why we created the conference. But this level that Christine takes people on, it was a deconditioning retreat, but she does a Live Your Design. It's like far out. That this is it. This is where it's at. This is a raw, real, lived experience. And being in aura with so many other types and feeling so safe, Can I just say, oh my gosh, a safety thing for me, it always kind of my body often feels quite unsafe. Just I have a bit of trauma through, I have to feel kind of safe. I have to feel that I trust somebody. And with Christine and that environment that I went to, I just felt so safe. And she just looked after me as only another reflector could. But that whole group, that whole cohort, we had all types there. We truly did. So as a part of that, it was really about stepping into the deconditioning journey. And, I've been doing, as we all do, I think we're lifelong learners. We're doing a lot of deconditioning every day just by, learning human design, just by finding out about human design is a deconditioning trip all on its own, because it's about us scratching at our own space and going, who are you? Who are you? We start that gentle inquiry. But during this retreat, what really opened up my eyes was, I've been in this space and very in the reflector journey and the reflector experience. And, I do work with a lot of other types, not in human design, but in others. Obviously, I weave human design into my business, but the shift and the, what are the words? It's this compassion. There, that's probably the right word. It was just my heart exploded with compassion and kindness and understanding for the journey of we all take in this, the generator journey, the manifestor journey, the manifesting generator journey, the projector journey. And it just was allowed me to really be immersed with real humans, actively in their experiment. And I still don't have words for this experience, but all I can ever say going forward is get your ass to New Zealand. Poor Christine, she's gonna be inundated. But seriously, this is in a way not for everybody, but it is a way to truly embody what human design is about from a mechanical point of view and from a deconditioning point of view. So let me just check my list here, because I wrote myself I wrote myself a list of things that I needed to talk about, because I'd go off on a tangent. I think something that I've just got a note here about, I want to talk about embodiment in human design. And so again, a part of this and a part of this year that I've been in, I talk about it a lot now, really getting out of the head. But it's like, well, what does that mean? Because even me years ago, I'm just like, yeah, I'm not in my head, but I am. And it's again getting into that inner awareness of just feeling that I'm not making decisions anymore. Well, that's not true, because I still am. I'm still learning, but I'm really embracing not making decisions anymore based on what the mind thinks it needs. So, I'm basing my decisions, and I'm really feeling into a lot more. And it's been really noticed for people around me. If anything, I've pushed back a lot on people. My boundaries are probably stronger than they've ever been, which is pissing some people off, but that's fine. My vulnerability and my openness in my heart is just, I didn't think that I could ever feel as much as I'm feeling. And I feel like I've only just cracked it. And I'm like, this is feels amazing. But it's also quite confronting for people to be around that. So, and I'm very aware of that. And in the past, I'd probably try to dampen myself down a little bit, whereas now I'm like, no, I can also take up my rightful space in this world and align myself with my true essence of who I am. And I can be a pretty bright light. And I know you can too. Something I also wanted to mention here, another note that I have in my little list, is that it's really overwhelming right now in the land of the internet. And, with so much AI-driven content, again, it's a very mental process, and I'm not immune, have not been immune to that at all. It just feels like every time I turn around, there's somebody writing this massive amount of content. And it's like, did you actually write that? Did you actually feel into that? How is that feeling for you? And again, I'm not throwing this as an attack at anybody, but it's very much for me, it doesn't align anymore to just, rehash something from a book that I read, many books. It feels like, how am I applying that to my life? How does that feel for me? And then kind of journeying through that process. And that's been really good. And I guess I just wanted to share that, that's something that I've been actively participating in. And yeah, that's a little bit of all I've got to say about that. So again, it comes back to the simplicity of our design. So again, getting back to the some of these little workshops, and it is just more fostering community here in my little platform, my little channel, and working through all of the things that I've done. I lay a foundation there for others to come in, and it's why I feel it makes me an exceptional counselor as I really dig into this a lot more. And I know people poo-poo about talk therapy, but I don't do just talk therapy. It's just different ways, somatic embodiment, a meditation teacher. You know what? As reflectors, we have a swag of things in our backpack that we can pull out on. And this alignment feels when we can just go, oh my gosh, that's naturally where I can really sit comfortably in spaces. And the work that I do, I sit very comfortably in. So I'm opening that up to this community to say I am available. I didn't think that I'd ever do virtual consults and things like that, but some of the clients that I've been working with lately in human design, but also in trauma work and human design, deconditioning work and human design, allowing my registered counselor skills to come out, allowing all of that to come out and talk into this lived experience of being in human design has been just, oh my gosh, it fills my heart with joy. And the feedback that I'm getting from these sessions are just really good and it feels really wholesome. And I'll only grow from that. And I think this is just a general reminder for you to tap into what you're really passionate about. I think often we can get caught into, feeling that human design has to be our bread and butter. I can make a business out of this, I can do this. But it's like, it's for me, I'm just sharing through my experience. I am extremely passionate about human design, but I'm also extremely passionate about my other work. And how I weave those together makes it a beautiful, beautiful theme to go, I'm going to use this and I'm going to use that. And human design is just another tool in my toolbox. I'm more passionate about this work that I do over here, because it's who I am. And the more I dig into that, my design and my chart, and I look at all these things, it just has allowed me to just go, oh my gosh. And another key teacher for me over this year, since May, is Kim Gould. I'm a part of her community, and the way that Kim, she's a fellow 5-1, so I feel her alignment and my alignment work. But the amount of information and just deep introspection that I've got from the work that she does, and I know that she predominantly works with asteroids, but it's the way that Kim works with human design and the asteroids and just these archetypes. It is phenomenal. I have like explored so much of myself. Like the other week on a call, we were talking about Ceres. And I was really like looking into my chart. Well, where does this sit in my chart and how does this show up? And it was one of these huge moments for me where I was gobsmacked and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'd never looked at this like this before. And this is huge because it gives us this ability to create it more of a story. Not a story that we're playing over and over, but a bit of a theme into these underlying aspects of who we are and why we do the things that we do. So it's been a beautiful experience, journeying through this year of just stepping into this third line. I want to use it in the third line aspect of just being, I want to play now. Like I want to play to, fill the gaps in my holes and my solid foundation so that I can support, but also still play, come back in and back out and back in and back out, and really relax this attitude that we have to have it all figured out all the time. It's just like, you know what? Life's a playground. Let's play, more than just getting to know ourselves and be our greatest love story. Let's play. Let's play in the world. So in January, I'm going to be running the experiment again. I love the word experiment. I learned that word from Christine, because it is, it's an experiment, it's a playground. And just really holding hand, I'm not guiding or teaching. I'm holding your hand and navigating and giving you these pinpricks of awareness so that you can go, okay, well, how does this feel? How does this feel? Because tracking lunar cycle transits or tracking any form of transits, it's a heady process. So it's like, okay, well, I can tell you that, or I can show you. And I can show you so you are experiencing the transit tracking through an educational front, a lived experience front, a supportive front, but also navigate it your way. And that's what we're finding in the group currently, is we're all navigating this in a different way, and we're understanding all these little nuances. It's a beautiful space. So if you are interested, I'm going to open that up again for January. We're going to start on the 18th of January, but it'll be open in early January for you to get a feel for, just the pre stuff of, navigating into this, the tools that we're going to use. But other than that, everything's provided for you because it's a lived experience. Anyway, I would really love also as a part of this to, open up the discussion with others to find out, how are you embodying your design today? Like how are you living it? And that might be a bit of an open-ended question, but it could be like, how are you exploring your centers today? How are you exploring the fact that you might be a 2-4 or a 4-6? What does that mean for you? Because you can read anything in a book, and that'll be like your that be what you think it is. But what does that mean for you? And this is a really good starting point for anything, like asking yourself, okay, well, I've read now that this is what it means to be a reflector or a manifester or a generator or whatever. But what does that mean to me now that I've read that? It's comprehension, it's taking it back. What does that mean that I've got a completely open G? What does that mean? So, gentle inquiry is one of our best skills in this journey. And writing that down, because it will shift and change, and that's okay as you deepen your awareness and understanding. So I hope that that greets you and fills you with joy. I wanted to also share, there's going to be a lot more podcasts just coming out over the next 2 months, and this is just us ramping up towards the conference here in May next year. And I wanted to bring you a little bit more Australian human design people as we start to like find them. So Australia is a huge country, but we don't have that big of a population down here. And sometimes it feels like you're talking to people in my community and I'm like, oh, they know human design, but they don't know human design, or you're suddenly, or people are just new to it. So I feel like here in Australia, we're a little bit not behind, but we don't have as big of a human design community than those of you do in, in different countries and different areas in the world. So that was, a big theme for Amber and I into creating the Human Design Conference here in May this year. And we're doing again in May this year. But more to that, I thought, how can I support this platform and my community here in Australia? And I thought, I'm going to reach out to these people who I get to experience, some personally, some not, and just go, hey, how are you? So enjoy the next couple of months. I'll be weaving in, obviously, some reflectors in that as well, but really enjoy the next couple of months because we can really learn from each other in different types and different strategies and things like that. And going back to what I was saying about being on retreat for 4 days, I learned more about myself through the lens of the others than I have in a while. And it was so beautiful to really feel into, their journey, because their journey is not unlike ours. It's very different and unique for us all. And it's humbling, isn't it? It's sometimes we're down on our knees at times. That sounds dramatic, but sometimes we're laughing, sometimes we're crying. We're journeying through the myriad of emotions, and these humans have a story. We all have a story to share and tell, and I'm looking forward to you hearing theirs. Outside of all of the stuff that they do, this is their story and their journey. So I'm looking forward to bringing that to you. And I don't even know. I've got my list here and I can't read it because I don't have my glasses on, but I think that's enough. Actually, in ending, I want to share with you a song. I'm not going to sing it. I think that I would like to put it into this episode, but I think that for copyright purposes, I'll probably get flamed for that. So let me just pull it up. This is a beautiful song which I will read for you. Sit around the fire. Beyond all polarities, I am. Let the judgments and opinions of the mind be judgments and opinions of the mind. And you exist behind that. Ah, so. Ah, so. It's really time for you to see through the absurdity of your own predicament. You aren't who you thought you were. You just aren't that person. And in this very lifetime, you can know it right now. The real work you have to do is in the privacy of your own heart. All of the external forms are lovely, but the real work is your inner connection. If you're quiet when you meditate, if you truly open your heart, just quiet your mind, open your heart. Quiet the mind, open the heart. How do you quiet the mind? You meditate. How do you open the heart? You start to love that which you can love and just keep expanding it. You love a tree. You love a river. You love a leaf. You love a flower. You love a cat. You love a human. But go deeper and deeper into that love till you love that which is the source of the light behind all of it. Behind all of it, you don't worship the gate. You go into the inner temple. Everything in you that you don't need, you can let go of. You don't need loneliness, for you couldn't possibly be alone. You don't need greed, because you already have it all. You don't need doubt, because you already know. The confusion is saying, I don't know. But the minute you are quiet, you find that in truth, you do know. For in you, you know. Plane after plane will open to you. I want to know who I really am. As if in each of us, there was once a fire. And for some of us, there seem as if there are only ashes now. But when we dig in the ashes, we find one ember. And very gently, we fan that ember, blow on it. It gets brighter. And from that ember, we rebuild the fire. One thing that's important is that ember. That's what you and I are here to celebrate. That through we've lived our life totally involved in the world, We know that we're of the spirit. And the ember gets stronger, and the flames start to flicker a bit. And pretty soon you realize that we're all going to do this for eternity, to sit around the fire.